Welcome to the Axiom Podcast. I'm Tommy Rohrlach. I'm joined by Cameron Earhart. Today, we're going to be talking about questions, those questions that every business owner should be asking themselves, as well as questions that every business owner should be asking of their leadership teams. A common reason why business owners engage with Axiom is they often feel pulled in too many different directions. They're wearing too many hats. They often, as a result, just don't have the bandwidth to slow down, to pause, and to ask themselves some vital questions, things that they need to know about themselves and their direction, as well as their leadership team. So, Cameron, we're going to start with that first topic, questions that every business owner should be asking themselves. It's the overall question of why. Most of us have probably heard or have read Simon Sinek's best-selling book, Start With Why. And in that book, he talks about some important questions to ask, such as, why do I do what I do? Why does my company exist? Or even, why do I get out of bed every morning? So, Cameron, can you tell us more about that question of why and why it is so important to take some time and analyze, why do I fill in the blank?
Yeah, thanks, Tommy. Why is a good place to start for any business owner? If you haven't taking time to articulate this, it's good for multiple reasons. I think the most practical reason or the most practical way that you can use your why is in hiring. So I'll give you an example of this. Our why is that we sincerely believe that business, when done right, can change the world in incredible ways. And so when we are hiring and we're talking to individuals who are interested in coming on and potentially being a consultant or a growth advisor, I guess I've changed that now, at Axiom, we'll ask the question, why do you want to do this work? Why do you want to do this work here at Axiom? What interests you about this? And sure, they may not articulate that perfectly word for word, but we can generally get a sense if they resonate with our why or not. And we'll often share it with them and then we'll see, you know, what do they have to say about it? Is it something that excites them? Do they say like, man, that really hits home. Like, that's why I want to do this work too. Or does it not, right? And so no matter what kind of business you're running, if you can articulate very clearly why you're doing the work and then hire people that resonate with that why, that's going to build a unity amongst the team that's going to draw you closer. You're going to have more camaraderie. You're going to have better culture. You're going to be able to stay united as you pursue your vision together. So yeah, always great to start with why, as Simon Sinek says.
Yeah, absolutely. And needless to say, when you don't know your why, and you run into those problems like employee attrition, or you can't seem to find the right people. Well, needless to say, I mean, it makes sense. How can people know what to latch onto when you don't even know? You haven't asked that of yourself.
No, that's a good point. It's also, you know, you mentioned like, why do I get out of bed in the morning and come to work? And I think that's an important one is, you know, kind of going back to that is there's going to be mornings where you don't want to get out of bed and come to work. And sure, you know, maybe it's a little lofty to say, well, like this, you know, this is the reason why they should, that they should ultimately get out of bed. But I think it does help, you know, when you're just lacking that motivation, and maybe this starts to become on a, you know, like, man, I've gone a week, I've gone a month. Like I'm not feeling it. Like if you can go back to the why and be like, no, this is why we're doing it. Like it can help spark that inspiration that you need to, you know, continue putting your head down and you know, going to work every day. And that should resonate throughout the company.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on from why, the next question we want to talk about is, where do I want my business to go? Cameron, can you talk about why that question is so important? The business owners to ask themselves, to pause, take a step back and say, where do I even want my business to go?
Yeah, it's a really hard question to answer. And most business owners struggle answering this question. They struggle articulating the vision of the company. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not just like one main reason, but most companies that we start with as clients and we go in and we ask them, what's your vision for the company? Like they don't really know. They can't really articulate it very clearly. And having a vision, knowing where you want your business to go is incredibly important, not only for you, but for your entire team. We, you know, say the illustration, Tommy, which I know you know, is all right, there's this bus and we're heading somewhere. But if we tell people to get on the bus, we don't say the destination. Like, why are they getting on the bus? Or sooner or later, they're going to be like, wait, where the heck are we heading? Like, why am I on this bus? Where is it going? So we need to articulate that very clearly. And we've done podcasts before on vision, and I'm sure we'll do more. So I won't spend a ton of time talking about how to articulate a vision, because it'd probably take up the whole podcast. But if we can get clear in where we want to go over the next year, where we want to be in 3 years, and then ultimately where we want to be in, let's call it 10 years or maybe a little longer, an over the horizon vision. And if we can clearly articulate that in a way that at least part of that vision, where we can objectively say we're here. And what I mean by that is not something so subjective that we can never really tell if we accomplish it or not, which I think is where a lot of businesses fall short, is their vision will be like, our vision is to change people's lives for the better. It's like, is that really a vision?
Like, it's a great thing, but is it a defined vision?
Yeah, so we love vision statements that at least one component of it is objective, which means, you know, quantitative typically. So whether that's a revenue, amount of offices, amount of employees, you name it. Like, if there's a number to it, I like that a lot, because that tells us like, yeah, we objectively hit this this goal of ours, this vision. This is where we wanted to go as a business, and this is where we are. So yeah, I think that's a very important question every business owner should be asking themselves, is where do I want our business to go?
Yeah. I mean, it can get overlooked, but ultimately, if you don't know where you want your business to go, how can you expect your teams, your leadership teams? Cameron made a lot of points about how that can be detrimental. But another point is, you might find that your teams are not only not knowing your vision, not knowing where you want it to go, but potentially taking steps toward driving your business in a direction that you never intended. And so it's not that they're kind of following the blind, but they might take ownership on themselves and take it in a direction that you had never intended, which is a whole other issue in itself. But moving on to the next question. So as a business owner, and for all the business owners listening, will probably nod their heads along to this. When you're making decisions, you're perpetually faced with the choice of either, one, doing things the way that you want to, you know how to now, or facing and addressing the reality that you might need to delegate, but delegation takes longer. However, it takes you further. Delegation takes longer, but it takes you further. So the question of, you can word it a few different ways, right? What do I need to delegate, or what do I need to take off my plate? What do I need to assign to someone on my leadership team? So Cameron, can you tell us more about that question and why it's so important to ask?
Yeah, that's a tough one that business owners need to battle with. And there's this internal struggle in most business owners, not all of them, of a desire for freedom and a desire for control. And it feels like to most of them that those are constantly banging their heads against each other. And they struggle. Like, okay, I want to delegate this. I want to take this off my plate. But I'm also worried that if I do, then it's not going to happen the way I would do it. It's not going to have the quality that I would put behind it as the business owner. And that's especially common in early stage companies. Let's call it like under 2 million, maybe under 3 million. That's really common. But what I would say to that, and what we would advise our business owners who have that struggle, is let's figure out what is your highest and best use as a business owner. And let's focus as much of your time and energy on your highest and best use as possible. And then those things that aren't your highest and best use, but you're struggling letting go of control, which like we understand, let's figure out who needs to be responsible for this, who isn't you. And let's make sure they have all the training, coaching, and expectations necessary in order to get those things done. Because as long as you're doing those things, we're going to be less productive, less efficient as a company, because that's not your highest and best use. You shouldn't be doing those things. Right. So yeah, if you can articulate that in a list, if you can make a list and doing a time audit, like we've done this before with clients where they look, you know, for a whole month sometimes, they look at their week and they're writing down, how are they spending their time? And at the end of it, we'll review it and say like, man, that 20, 30, 40% of this you should not be doing. Like, this is not your highest and best use. Is this really where we want the CEO, the business owner, spending time? And so yeah, it's a tough one that I think a lot of business owners struggle with, but if they can figure out what they need to delegate or take off their plate, I think they do it the right way, the company will get much better because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there are a a myriad of questions we could throw out there. In the eyes of Axiom, the clients that we've worked with, those few that we just mentioned and delved into are some of the most important. But real quick, Cameron, what are just more in general, what are some other questions that business owners should be asking themselves, should be challenging themselves with?
Yeah, we'll just do kind of a quick fire and throw a handful out there. And some of these questions are ones that we'll ask our clients just in our one-on-ones with them, mm-hmm. or you know, maybe around annuals, just to try to get our finger on the pulse of, you know, what's going on in the company and with the business owner. And some of them are ones that we'll do during the assessment just to figure out, you know, these are important answers, but business owners can ask themselves these questions. And mm-hmm. some of these we've taken from different books. So, I'm not trying to steal anything here. Some of these might be directly from another book, but we love using, you know, other people's good ideas. So one of the first ones though is, I'll tell the reason for this question and then would love to hear your thoughts on it, Tommy. But the question is, if someone else were to take over my company tomorrow, what are the first 2 to 3 changes that they would make? Mm-hmm. And the reason that we ask that question, or we want business owners to ask themselves that question, is because it makes you think objectively. You're so tied to your business, to your team members, which most small business owners are loyal to a fault. You're so ingrained in it, it is tough for you to get an outside perspective. But when you think about it through the lens of a buyer, someone who's coming in and initially thinking very objectively, what are the first 2 to 3 changes that they would make? It could be a pretty eye-opening question. You might be surprised by your answers, and you might also, it might be like a gut check of like, ooh, that's I got to battle with that.
One of my favorite sayings or metaphors or pictures that we often create or reference, I should say, is the one of the warts on the baby, right? And so, you know, my wife and I don't yet have kids, but I can say with a lot of confidence that when we do, he or she's going to be perfect in our eyes, right? But then what happens when one of your friends or family members or someone you know has a baby? Like, it might be a little bit easier to spot, oh, there's this or there's that. Not that it's intentional, but it's not yours. You can take that outsider's point of view, right? And I think that's exactly what you allow yourself to do with your business when you ask this question. It's, all right, I'm going to kind of hypothetically remove myself from being so deeply ingrained, and I'm going to look for, specifically, intentionally look for those 2 to 3 changes, those 2 to 3, whether it's an issue or a pain point, something that needs to be addressed, or maybe it's an opportunity that is sitting there right for the picking that we just have not prioritized. We've not made the decision to capitalize on. When you ask yourself this question, if someone else were to take over the company tomorrow, what are the first 2 to 3 changes they would make? It allows you to see the baby as if it were someone else's, right? Using that picture again, it allows you to see what some of those issues are that that you need to prioritize.
Yeah, no, it's a good illustration. My son is 2 years old, so I don't think he'll be listening to this, but he was not a pretty baby. He was a very ugly baby.
Okay.
Fortunately, he did a 180.
And okay.
He's a beautiful kid now.
Good.
But
okay.
Yeah, I had an ugly baby. But yeah, no. Then the next one that I would say is, what behavior am I allowing from myself or from my team that I need to stop? And there's a good principle in Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin, where they talk about, it's not what you preach, it's what you tolerate.
Mm.
And so when you think about, you know, behavior of your organization, your team members' behavior on a scale, and at the upper end of that scale is your expectations, like the standard that you set for what you expect, right? That's like the best possible outcome of their behavior. And then on the other end of the scale is what you tolerate, what you allow. The collective group naturally is going to fall more towards what you allow, what you tolerate, than what you preach as the standard. And so we need to make that gap as narrow as possible. And I know this is audio, you're not listening, but if you can just imagine a scale, and if you can imagine that shrinking down, that's what we're talking about here. So we set expectations. We clearly preach, communicate what type of behavior we want. But then we don't tolerate behavior that is far outside of those bounds. Like, we hold people to those standards. And when you do that, that's when, like, you really create an amazing culture. And so it's good to continually be thinking about asking yourself the question, what behavior am I allowing out of myself that my team's seeing? Or what behavior am I allowing from my team that is killing our culture, is crushing us? And there's a lot of different reasons why we may justify that we're allowing that behavior. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't line up with the expectations that we're setting, we're gonna have some levels of toxicity within the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Moving on, continue to fire off these questions. Who is on the bus that shouldn't be? So the first thing that comes to mind when I hear or see that question is bring it back to values, right? And I know Cameron mentioned we have podcasts about values, about vision, so we could spend hours on just this one topic. But in my eyes, and I know in everyone's eyes and axiom, that's where it has to start. Who is on the bus that shouldn't be? Bring it back to the values. Who, at worst, extreme case, disagrees with the values, or who might say they believe in them, say they want to take ownership of the owners and the company's values, but they're not actually living it out. They're not actually doing anything in action. So that, in my eyes, Cam, is the first thing that I look for when asking who is on the bus that shouldn't be. Can you either continue talking about values, or how else do you look at that when answering or asking that question?
Yeah, values is definitely the first lens that we want to look at this question through. Who isn't holding to our values? Ultimately, if they just consistently cannot live out our values, we need to get them off the bus. And that should be a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we start with companies, like that's one of the things we have to challenge our business owners on. It's like, why is Rick still on the bus? Like, he clearly is not living out our values. Right. He's toxic to the culture here because he's a great producer. Like, okay, so you don't have values then. And mm-hmm. and so that could be a tough question. We get that. But outside of values, I mean, there could be a few reasons. It's mainly they're not meeting expectations. And typically if it's other, like, oh, they're just not meeting their performance expectations, typically it's either we didn't deliver the coaching and training that we needed to, or they're not holding up to the values. Like, it still, mm-hmm. in a way, either comes back to it falls on us or it falls on them for not living out the values. So yeah, there's this is a tough question, especially, you know, like I mentioned earlier, small business owners are some of the most loyal people in the world, mm-hmm. and typically loyal to a fault. And so if they think about this objectively of, okay, well, if someone else bought my company, who would they let go of? Mm. That can be, you know, another gut check reality question, yeah. another way of thinking about this. And we're not saying, hey, go fire them tomorrow, but you also need to understand the capacity for your business to grow is completely contingent upon who you have on the bus.
Yeah.
And so if anyone's holding that back, you're not going to go as far because yeah. they're slowing you down. So,
and also on that point, and this is potentially hard to hear, sometimes hard to take a step toward putting this in practice, but the results are always fruitful, is not only looking at it from, all right, what's most beneficial to the company, but at the end of the day, are we potentially harming the individual by keeping them on, right? If it's a business owner and for whatever reason, just the months, the quarters, the years go on and that person's still there, but you know in the back of your mind, it's not the right person. This bus is not the person or the bus that needs to have that person on it. But time goes on, you don't do anything about it. And that's just this cycle that you stay in. Well, not only are you harming yourself, the company, but you're harming that individual, right? And so as tough of a pill as this is to swallow, it is better. Obviously, this is case by case, but overall, it's going to likely be better for that individual when we have that tough conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can get business owners to, and I'm not saying all do this, but if we can get them to stop thinking of employees as a means to an end, but mm-hmm. rather think of them as a means in and of themselves, then you start to think, okay, well, if they're not meant to be here, maybe I should help them
yeah.
get somewhere else.
And so
yeah, it's a tough way to think, but it's the right way to think, we believe. And then another good one is, what am I trying to control that I need to let go of? And that kind of goes back to the question we asked, that what do I need to delegate or take off my plate? But it can also, you know, be even outside of just your responsibilities. Like, what are you trying to control in your business that you need to stop trying to control? Like, an mm-hmm. example, just to get a little bit more practical, would be like, which employee's performance are you trying to control? Mm-hmm. You know, which one are you micromanaging? Mm-hmm. That's a form of control.
Yeah.
Like, you don't fully trust them, so you micromanage them. You try to control them, right? And and really just think that the key to freedom is discipline and expectations. And so if you discipline yourselves in these different areas, if you give clear expectations, then there should be very little that you need to control. There's always going to be aspects of the company that you have to control as a business owner. But the more that you can let go of a lot of times, the more freedom you're going to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Last one on this is, where am I falling short, or where am I failing as a leader? Cameron, you mentioned extreme ownership a few minutes ago. And that book is so good in helping us, helping owners address this question. It takes an extremely high level of humility, of accountability. Where can I step in and admit, all right, I'm not doing well in X, Y, or Z, or looking back, I failed in this area, and that's what has taken us here. But also looking forward, just perpetually asking ourselves, and it can be a tough pill to swallow because we don't just ask it and then, great, things are awesome, five stars, I'm doing well. No, we are all falling short. And so it's not a who does this apply to, it's when does it apply to you? And our answer to that would be always. Always ask yourself, where am I falling short? Where am I failing as a leader? Because we're all making mistakes. None of us are perfect. But once we hit that level of, all right, I'm good, I think I can coast. Well, no one really ever coasts. That's when you start to decline, you start to fall. And so we encourage the owners and the leaders that we work with to always ask themselves, where am I falling short? Where can I do better?
Yeah, and I know in a second we're about to shift to a question you should ask your leadership team. But I would say, you know, this is one of those questions you should not only ask yourself, but you should ask your, not just your leadership team as well, but your entire company. So whether that's through a culture survey or 360 review, yeah, or whatever it may be, you should be getting feedback. Like, you should be humble enough to seek and receive feedback from your team of where you may be falling short as a leader. And last thing I'll say about it, I'll say this. So if someone who reports to you, if someone brings a problem to you and you don't do anything about it, you are failing as a leader. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different, like, you know, we'll just call them one-offs like that, that we mm-hmm. could, that we could throw out there of like, where am I falling short as a leader? This is one that we see a lot. It's like, hey, this person brought this up to you a month ago, 2 months ago. Like, you still never done anything about it. We did a culture survey 3 months ago. Your employees left a ton of feedback. We haven't done anything about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're failing as a leader. You're falling short as a leader. So yeah, I think that's a good one to ask yourself, but also ask your team.
Yeah, absolutely. So shifting gears to questions that every business owner should be asking of their teams, their leadership teams. A few minutes ago, Cam, you mentioned or referenced our one-on-ones with the clients that we work with, the teams that we work with. But something that Axiom firmly believes in is our clients getting into this rhythm, this monthly rhythm of one-on-ones with their direct reports as well. And the first two, or really the main two, I should say, the main two questions that create the entire agenda of these one-on-one recurring meetings, it's two pretty simple questions. It's one, how are you doing? And two, how can I help you succeed? Or what do you need from me? We keep it simple. It's how are you doing? How can I help you succeed? Those are vital to be asking of your leadership teams. Cameron, can you tell us more about those questions?
Yeah, those questions, they're simple, but they're extremely effective. And the reason is because your main role or your main responsibility as a leader is the success of those you lead. If those you lead are falling short or failing, then ultimately you are falling short or failing. So, you know, Jocko will say, no bad teams, only bad leaders. And so you need to consistently meet with your reports, and we say, you know, we recommend on a monthly basis, but asking these two questions, how are you doing? You're demonstrating that you care about them as a person, right? It's more than just their performance in the company. Like, how are you actually doing? And then what do you need from me, or how can I best help you succeed? You're demonstrating, I believe my role is to serve you. I believe in servant leadership. So what do you need from me to help you succeed over the next 30 days? Those are the two best questions you can ask, you know, everyone who reports to you on a consistent monthly basis. But, you know, some other ones that kind of go through, one is asking people on your leadership team, like, what are they seeing out there, mm-hmm. right? Because you're not always seeing everything in the company. They're seeing stuff you're not seeing. And mm-hmm. so really getting a sense of where they feel like, you know, things are going right, things are going wrong. I know you have some questions here that you feel like are effective to ask as well, right?
Yeah, so on that, I mean, a couple of those crucial questions, it's, again, back to values, right? As a business owner, ideally, you are seeing kind of across the company who has been living out the values, what are some very specific, tangible examples of someone knowing, recognizing the importance of, and living out the values. But it's also important, as, of course, we're going to miss some things, to ask that of your team, right? To make sure that you have a pulse on the entire company, the pulse on the values on the entire company. And one of the ways that you do that is by just saying, hey, who on your specific team, your direct reports, who has been living out our values over the last, pick a period of time, and then ask for those specific examples.
Yeah, that's great. And some other ones, then we can finish up with these. But what are your goals in the company? You know, asking people on your leadership team, how am I helping you stay on this path? Like, where do you want to go? Right. So just making sure that you're constantly addressing their need to grow, their need to as the company grows, like they want to see themselves grow. And so make sure you're continually addressing that and helping them accomplish those things. And if it ever gets to the point where they say, hey, my goals are no longer aligned with this company, like, I believe that my goals are to go this direction and that's not the direction this company's going anymore, then going back to, okay, like, you're more than just a means to an end for me. So let me help you get there. Like, I'm going to think of you as a human being. I'm going mm-hmm. to think of you the way I would want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so when you're consistently serving them in this way and keeping, you know, your finger on the pulse of how they're doing in the company, helping them grow, I personally think they're going to stick around longer. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to be less likely to end up having that conversation of going a different direction. But it's usually when you're not having these kind of conversations is when they end up coming in telling you that they want to go somewhere else. So,
right.
Anyways, point being, I think communication is key, and mm-hmm. Having good conversations, asking good questions, both of yourself and to your team, can help make you and your company so much better.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm going to throw out two more questions that I think it's important that business owners should ask of their leadership team. We're going to end with this because it's applicable both to the vision, the future of the company, as well as the internal development of the leadership teams and those who are potentially not even on the leadership teams. It's who, if anyone, do you think is ready to take on more responsibility? Sometimes people need that little push, and that's all right. So as an owner, it is part of your responsibility to keep your thumb on the pulse of, all right, where am I finding more opportunity for some of these folks on my team to take on more responsibility? And then last, who, if anyone, do you think deserves to have a seat at the leadership table? Those two things can partially go hand in hand. Responsibility is not synonymous with being on the leadership team, but that question does need to be asked, right? Are there people who are not on the actual leadership team yet, as time goes on, you see that there's room for them at the table. They need to be in these conversations. They need to be in these pivotal meetings. Well, they're not going to get there without you as the owner, without your leadership team. Kind of the last point Cameron made, looking at their goals within the company, helping them stay on this path and working them up that chain so that they can become the best version of themselves as an employee within your company. So a lot of these points you guys have heard us talk about on past podcasts, whether it was the importance of one-on-ones or values or vision and what that means. It's not just a buzzword. And so I do strongly encourage everyone to go to our website. You can find a list of all of our past podcasts there. You can also find our podcasts on your favorite streaming platform. And I also will encourage you to download our leadership guide, where we'll have references to all of the questions that we've gone into today. And whether it's Cameron, myself, the team down in Sarasota, we would love to have further conversations with you about these questions, how to apply them, continue to dive into their importance, or even just how it's applicable to you and your business yourself. So before we sign off, Cameron, any last words?
No, this is a good topic. So I'm glad we talked about it. If you want more questions, feel free to email us and we can send you even more. There's just a few. So
yep, absolutely. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, everyone.